I inform each new vicar that I expect one real, solid, constructive idea from him that will be adopted in the congregation. And I tell him that immediately as he looks it over. There should be one particular thing, a constructive, solid idea that he could suggest which will be adopted by the congregation. As a result, many suggestions by our vicars have now been put to practice in our congregation, and our congregation is the better for it. Their insight is very objective to begin with, and they see certain things that maybe, normally speaking, I would not see in the routine of things. In addition to giving the vicar a general overview of the congregation and his specified responsibilities, I now have the practice of having the new vicar arrive 15 days to 30 days before the outgoing vicar leaves. And I wished I would have started this sooner. I have found this most profitable for a better orientation of the new vicar. It also saves me much time and makes a better transition of the responsibilities of the vicar. This is one thing that I have appreciated so much, because it does get to be a problem if, after you've been in the vicarage program so long, of orientating these fellows every year. I know some bishops won't do this, but I guess I don't feel insecure. I mean, I think this is a very wonderful way of doing it. After meeting with me and the outgoing vicar, I personally introduce him to the congregation after the induction service, and we follow the induction service more or less as is indicated in the manual. I also personally introduce him to all organizations and boards of the church, and outside of the church to civic groups like my Rotary Club, the Chamber of Commerce, and the editors of the newspaper for whom he will also be writing articles during his stay in the congregation. I see to it that he meets these key people immediately. He goes with me to begin with on all calls, both prospective calls, shut-in calls, and sick calls. That's to begin with. After a while, we alternate usually on sick calls and other types of calls. He also goes with me to pastoral conferences, to district conventions, wherever I feel he can get a broader insight into the general program of the church. Whenever I feel I have done my part to see that he's properly orientated, and this also takes in a lot of details, filing work and et cetera, and I don't have time to go into that, then I encourage him now to look to the real bishop of the church for power and for help, to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and tell him that if he looks to him for power and guidance, his work will be blessed in our congregation. He is told to pray hard, to work hard, to study hard, but above all, to have a sense of humor, which I feel is so important also in the parish ministry, and I wish I would have been told this from the start. We agree to set time aside every day, and this time has always been designated so that he can consult with me on any problem, talk to me about any experiences, and of course also any theological discussions as he would choose. In the orientation then, he is more or less informed about his general responsibilities, and I'll just roughly go through them. He is encouraged to attend all board meetings, including the Board of Elders and the Church Council, but to try to be present if at all possible, and if you can't make it, that's something else. But the door is open. He is informed that he will be pastoral advisor to the total youth program of the church, and we have about 6 youth groups. Now, this, of course, is done under my supervision, but the young people know that they can go to him with any problems, and it's surprising how the young people will talk to him about personal things which normally they wouldn't talk to me about. This has been a wonderful thing to have him as a sort of a youth pastor in the church. He is informed that he will call on all prospects who attend services, unchurched parents of children in day school and Sunday school, referrals of new residents in the area. He also supervises all religious census work that is carried on in our congregation, and we more or less conduct a census of our area so that we cover the area in census work every 10 years. Just take it parcel by parcel. He's told that he will have opportunity to call on the sick and shut-ins, usually alternating with me, and receive experience in premarital, pre-confirmation, and marital difficulty counseling. Now, this opportunity can be given to the vicars if you watch yourself. I mean, you can't give him every type of case, but there are cases which arise in the congregation which you can more or less put into his hands, and you can give him a little background and do a little coaching on the side. And the vicars really appreciate that. That's like the fellow said yesterday. This is something that they're looking forward to. It takes a little sweat on the bishop's part, but you can make it possible if you want to. It's a matter of will. He also is told that he will have opportunity to call on delinquent members in welfare cases. We have a welfare committee in our church which assists the needy, both inside of the congregation and those who come to us from outside of the church. He is informed that he will preach on an average of twice a month. In addition to that, children's midweek services once a month, conduct special services for youth retreats, Lent, and so on. But this schedule is set up sufficiently in advance, and this is most important, that you don't jolt the vicar, so that he's sort of prepared, that he has a schedule to look forward to. Otherwise, he may develop certain types of anxieties or fears if you throw too much at him at one time, or surprise him. He is told that he will be in charge of Sunday school teachers' meetings and assist in confirmation classes, both children and adults. He is also told that he will have one class in citizenship in our day school, which is only 1 hour a week. But in this way, we hope that the vicar will sort of get the feel and the pulse of a Christian day school. And this has also been most profitable in our setup. And the vicars all say they learned something about citizenship. He's also told that he will serve as liturgist or liturgist in all services when he is not preaching, so that the vicar is always in front of the congregation. And I think this is important too, so that they know who he is. And so whenever he is not preaching, he serves as liturgist. He also assists me in serving as contact man for the Northrop College of Technology. And after I've gotten that program rolling, this is an all-boys school in engineering. This is something that he can carry on with and just more or less report back to me as he develops the program later on. This is also a very interesting program because these boys come from all over the world, from every country of the world, India and Arabia and China and Japan and so forth. And this is a real experience for all the vicars, and they're about the same age as the vicar. So this is just a natural. See. In closing, I would just like to say this, that I've really enjoyed the vicarage program so far. I really can say that through the 10 years, in all honesty, I haven't had a foul ball in a vicar. I don't know why not, but I haven't within the last 10 years. Also, I would like to say this. There's some real solitary results that I have experienced because I have found for my own good that a vicar keeps me on my toes, keeps me alert, and especially keeps me young in spirit. Thank you.
Well, you know, when I looked this over at home, I said to myself, this is the part that's really going to make this thing. And I think you all enjoyed very much these presentations. Now, I watched my watch, and we're supposed to finish with discussion at 3. We're supposed to be down to point F already. I think we ought to give these brethren who are going to discuss point F the opportunity. The next item of business, obviously, is the rite of induction. It's in your manual, brethren, right? I'm to D. Yes, I think we'll take our chance later In the day, because I think we'll have opportunity. I think that what I would like to do, if it's agreeable with you, is get the brethren on the panel up under F. Let's just take a hasty look at the rite of induction. The only thing I want to say about it is that I think it's an excellent rite, and I'm sure you're using it. I would find it difficult myself to have a vicar arrive and not have him inducted, as we induct other servants of the word in the congregation. I simply am here to alert you to it at the moment. Max, you have
the only question I wanted to ask is, this comes up constantly when you install new teachers and the like.
Yes.
Is it wise to induct and use the same rite and order in both or three services if you conduct multiple services? I mean, is this the better way, or just one service?
Well, you want an offhand answer. I would say one time would be sufficient, would be for me. Now, you may, brethren may argue against that. You may want to have it perhaps in a special service and immediately have a reception for the young vicar after the service. Probably that's the way some brethren would do it. I don't think on this point we're going to find absolute unanimity.
What the guys are doing.
All right, we can give them a chance after a while to say something about this, okay? All right, we'll be sure to bring that up when we discuss this whole package. Now, I think that we should move on and give our next panel a chance to express themselves. We have Cy Wismar, Marvin Fritz, and Dick Schliepsy. Martin Brower isn't able to be with us. So will these three brethren come up. Now, they're going to talk about methods of supervision. How do you do it? And reporting back and sharing with the vicar. Three important aspects of this whole program. And, Cy, you're first at it. You want to tell them a little bit about your fine congregation and this sort of thing? Okay? All right.
Thank you, Mother. I'd like to know how many of you are having vicars for the first time this year. Thank you. It could be that by this time you are under the impression that you have a full-time job as the personal chaplain, counselor, advisor, instructor, and buddy, and that you won't have anything else to do for the coming year. I don't think this is quite correct. I don't know why I was asked to come and speak to you about this sort of thing, and if I can keep you from wondering, then I'll be doing something successful. But I do know that this affords me an opportunity to say thank you to the institution that has provided Covenant Church with vicars over the past 9 years. We're going into our 10th year, and we are very grateful for the wonderful things that the vicars have done for the Lord of the Church in our particular little corner of God's kingdom. I'll touch on just a few things because there are other men who have things to say to you, and I'm sure you want to hear from them because I would like to learn from them. I think it's very important that we remember every day that we are not creating a vicar in our own image. I think it's extremely important that we remember that we are not training a vicar, but that we are training a pastor. One of the things that's very distressing to me as concerns the reports, first that I have to make them, and secondly that you are grading the poor kid on the basis of a vicar. Now, if a guy that I get is going to be a professional vicar, this is real bad news for the church. I think it is most important, therefore, that we keep this in mind. We are not training this kid to look like us, with or without hair, but we are training him for the ministry of God among the world's people today. Another thing, as concerns reports, I know that some of you who have had vicars down through the years do this same sort of thing. In the reporting that goes back to the field director, I have the vicar evaluate himself, both the first and the second time. And I tell the kid, I say, now, unless you have a tremendously inflated opinion of yourself, whatever you say about yourself goes down on the ticket. And I think that this is an extremely important thing. I wrote to a couple of my previous vicars, we're still on writing terms, if not on speaking terms, and asked them what it was that they had learned in chewing the fat with the guys when they came back to the seminary and comparing notes. I'm sure that they do this, don't they, Paul? I would guess. And they stated that in some instances, the supervisors never went through this report with the guys. And this sounds frightfully amazing and almost impossible. But this matter of reporting, don't give the guy things to do just for the sake of keeping him busy. You know, it's, you have an annoying cocker spaniel, you keep throwing sticks so that the mongrel will go and chase the things and leave you alone. So, don't manufacture work and then forget to ask the guy what he did. Try to keep some sort of a running list on the projects that are current. And of course, keep your project list diversified so he is doing something of everything. But give the guy a break and give him an opportunity to tell you what he has done, where he has failed, and where he has been most eminently successful. It's nice to have him have the opportunity of telling you what a good guy he is, because this saves you from telling him what a good guy you are, at least for those few minutes. As concerns getting to know the vicar and the vicar's wife, I think it's nice that Dierker has the kid in for a beer the first day he gets there, and he makes him relax this way. But Sylvia and I have tried down through the years to have the vicar and his wife, assuming that he has one, in at least once a month. And we feel that it's helpful. Sylvia is a good gal and a charming hostess, and she knows some of the social graces. And not all of the vicars happen to know these things, and not all of the vicars' wives. It isn't that you say, now, this is a fork, you see? But I think that sometimes by observation they learn. No, we don't dress them. They're old enough. No, but really, give them an opportunity to see that things can be done nicely in a parsonage. If you have opportunity, take them to the opera if and when it comes to town, or to symphonies, or something of this sort. Try to, on the basis of at least once a month, if you can do it. It has become impossible with us, quite frankly. We just don't have this much time. But it is important, because you will see that there is a different relationship there than there is when the kid is sitting across from your desk. Give him opportunity to be himself in a social setting. This is quite helpful, I think. And then I think also as concerns reporting, Paul, that you ought to stress that the boss is to report to the kid, too, because the kids are very anxious to hear what's happening. You become something of a symbol to them, and they want to know how many points you scored the day, and keep them advised as they get into these things. I'm sure there are other things that should be said, and perhaps they could be said the better by the two young men behind me. So let's hear from them.
Just sitting back here, there's the wonderment, can you top this? And we were bargaining, do we have anything to share? And good brother paused just at a right time, because we were down to my last 2 points. So, for this we thank you. We were also wondering, why in the world are we here? And Brother Schliepsig just clued me, and I had no idea why in the world Paul would ask me, and Schliepsig suggested, well, Cy's meticulous, and he says, and I'm on the other end of the stick, so you must be somewhere in the middle. So there you are, and I don't know if this is the thought or no. By way of comment here, this report sheet, I would like to underscore what our brother mentioned. He said we're training pastors, and this, of course, is our aim, not training vicars. But I have a peculiar problem here with our report sheet, and this could occur to anyone here. We have a report sheet that lists administration and preaching and teaching and things of this sort, and you never know exactly in what your vicar will major in a given year. For example, this year I have had a vicar who has majored in love. And I don't mean agape, I'll tell you. And there isn't a thing on the whole report form to cover this situation. So what do you do? And I think we have a live one here for the parish ministry. But his report form is going to look just awful. That's for what it's worth. You deal with your own. This is the second time out of 10 vicars, 9 vicars to date, the 10th one's coming. Second time this has happened, and I vowed the last time it happened, which was quite a number of years ago, and that man is now on this seminary faculty, that it will never happen again. Either they'll be married before they come or after they leave, but not during. There's a whirlwind of romance that goes on here, and here we are. So I'd like to devise another report form pertinent to the individual vicar. And what is pertinent? Hank, Paul, they'll say, what's pertinent? I don't know. I don't know what the next one's major is going to be. All right. So far as supervision and the reporting, the time for communication seems to me to be important to me as well as to the student. So this time for communication, apart from any of the orientation time, thinking of 3 months after the vicar is there and the fourth month and the sixth still, what we seek to do, or here we have to wax subjective, what I try to do is have a day-by-day communication with the vicar in mid-morning as a devotional pattern. In this, we have some opportunity to study or review together. We used Overstein's prayer book and the suggested readings on the week there. The student is asked to bring in his New Testament. He can leave the Hebrew out. Chances are most often he won't be able to handle it anyhow. And this way I can quiz him a little bit and he can give us some feedback. We can share. The office staff is in. So here we have at least a basis for communication. Following this usually comes a coffee time, and here the quizzing begins. He may quiz me, I'll quiz him. Now, regrettably, to this time, I've had no form. I don't know whether a form is going to work with me, for the student, for our circumstance, or no. As of this particular moment, I think I have to have a report form, but I haven't found anything to fit our present situation. Now, in this reporting, the item that I would like to convey. I think I did convey this previously. Since all of our vicars have been St. Louis, I conveyed it to Ken Breimeyer, and I would like to convey it to you also with its results and share the word aloud also with Paul. So far as the assignment is concerned, I follow in the report back, whether this is dealing with sermonizing, whether it's teaching, whether it is calls. I follow, at least in my own mind and intent, a graded procedure of reporting. That is, during the first month, that is up until Christmas, I will lean rather heavily, for example, in sermonizing on, have your outline completed by Tuesday so that we can go through this and talk the text further still. I want the manuscript in and you read it to me with your inflections on Thursday. Then with regard to calls, I want some feedback day by day on any problems. We'll still have that Tuesday weekly conference so that we can wrap all things up on the week. From the beginning up till Christmas, on this I will lean and I'll pry and I'll find that the morning study hasn't been done. There was the car to get greased. There was sleeping in to be done, other things. At any rate, what I'm trying to do is get the student to the point of being more and more self-sufficient, self-disciplined, because chances are, the year after he leaves the SEM, he will have to have some of these disciplines himself. So up until Christmas, I will lean with the questioning, both on the cards, the notes I write, I don't have a sheet, and out of my own memory of what I'd assigned earlier, I'll lean very heavily. Up until Easter then, from Christmas to Easter, I'll do this not as persistently. Again, in my own mind and in my own intent, I'm doing this, whether the student recognizes this, or whether it comes off in fact, I can't say. But at least this is my intent, and from my point of view, I'm doing it. Then, from Easter until the conclusion of his vicarage, it is up to him to come with the reporting. He knows the field that he is to cover. He knows the areas of responsibility. These I will feed to him. Now, are you ready for more? How much can you handle? What's the feedback? On paper and in my own head, you know, it's a beautiful system, but I had to jot down. I can't go through 9 vicars as of now, but I did jot briefly the record of the last 5. With 2 of the last 5, this depreciating, should I say, leaning on the vicar, has worked very well, in my view, with 2. It's worked seemingly well, give a little, take a little, with 1, and in my view, it hasn't done too much good with 2. It seemed that 2 possibly, and I erred in this, should have had more pressure put upon them for 12 months and possibly 12 months after that. As a result, in reporting back to the SEM, where these last 2 circumstances appear, where I feel, in my own view, that the individuals are not aptly or adequately disciplined to go on their own, I will suggest to the seminary, so that the seminary offices know me a little bit, and I think this is important, I will suggest that they either go into a small parish with a strong circuit counselor or into a multiple ministry where there's a strong bishop. I think with this, I'll pause. Stop.
Brethren, now in this confession hour that we're having here, I'd like to carry on a little bit of the thought that the speaker just mentioned about Paul choosing us. I'm at a disadvantage because we worked together for almost 6 years, 5 years, and Paul and I have argued some of these points already. I think the point is here, as far as our discussion, the matter of supervision and report back. And I seem to differ a little bit with my attitude regarding these young men. As I think of the 2 young men that addressed us yesterday, I think every one of us was deeply impressed, and those of you that are having a vicar for the first time, with the abilities of these young men. And I know that Cy here didn't mean this when he meant it in a brotherly way. I think we must be careful in this attitude about kids. Most of them that I've had have been settled, married men, and I felt that they had reached a point of decision, and if they're going to go out on their own in a year, I think that we should let them on their own a little bit in the vicarage. I'm glad to hear that there doesn't seem to be too much emphasis on the formal paper weekly report. But I think this should be a brotherly communication, and in my situation with the shortage of help for the size of our congregation, I simply have to treat this fellow as almost like an associate pastor. And I believe that this has a way of giving these fellows, I think they'll analyze themselves if they're not working. I don't think all the report sheets in the world are going to make a fellow ambitious. And I have found if you really share with them and communicate from day to day the problems of the parish, I think the feedback will come, and with some, talking about orientation, you probably are just as well. I've had one that just was married. There's no use of talking to him the first couple of weeks. You might as well wait until things settle back. And this developed real nicely with the man. I'd say after 2 months, we had a real good communication. I thought I was never going to see the guy in the beginning.